stuff. It's not an obligation. It's an opportunity. And that's good. And sign up for church cleaning if you can. Again, just sometimes your time is the best thing that we can get. All right. I don't have a lifeline. Could you bring that to me, honey? Kurt put everything up here for me. He's out of town today. Okay. The 17th, my wife just informed me. It's not that the location is not in here, but the we're going to Jersey's for our dinner club. So the 17th is when we're going to do that. And then small groups. There's Wise Guys this week, Wise Guys. So if you can get out and join us. You know, it says 55 and up, but if you're free, you're free. You know, if you're younger and you just got time and you want to come out with some, hang out with some of the men of the church, that'd be a really good thing. So that's this Wednesday at 2. And I wanted to mention also, we've got a lot going on midweek now at 6 o'clock. It's been good. Come on up here, Crystal. Why don't you tell the people anything you can about school, what's happening this week, because we're doubling up this week. Now we're getting twice as busy. Yeah. Yeah, make Crystal feel welcome. Come on. Good job. Oh, you need a mic.
We have our night school for School of Ministry is starting this week. So, yay. Those are some of the students. And yay for school, right? It's really good. It's really good. So now we have day school that's been going for 2 weeks. We've got night school starting on Monday and Tuesdays. Wednesday nights we have an encounter night here. I don't know. We're over there, over here. We're here. Come and you'll find us, and we're just going to worship and pray. And there was something else. Tell me what it was.
I don't know. I can't keep up with my stuff, let alone your stuff and my stuff and her stuff.
Fine. I can't remember what it is.
Well,
God is good. God is really good. I will tell you that you will be getting two more black folks to the congregation. My parents are moving here this week.
There you go.
That is a very big deal. It's a huge testimony for my parents. They did not want to come back to the East Coast, so I'm really excited, and we are coloring up this county.
That's good. That's good. This county is way too light colored. We need a little. But you know, it's not even the color for me. It's the culture. Like, it'll be nice to have some people here who aren't hillbillies. That's just going to be so good. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. From New York originally. I mean, come on. Come on, that's going to be good. Oh, you know what? Let's just do them right now. Yeah, all good. We're timing-wise today pretty good. Who's got a testimony? Anybody got a testimony? Yep, here we go. Mo' money. No, maybe mo' money. Testimony.
Actually, yesterday I went to Pizza Hut, and I got my meal, and then I decided I was going to take some stuff home for, you know, next day or something. And I got in there, and I went to pay my bill, the two bills, because I had to get takeout. And they couldn't find the takeout bill on the computer. And they just said, oh, well, just take it home. We can't charge you if we don't have it on the computer.
That's a good deal.
I have two of them. I was blessed. I had a residential meeting at work. And, of course, we had a lot of negativity going on during the meeting. And God just called my heart to stand up and to let everybody know that what's going on. Why are we doing so much negativity? And out of my mouth come this huge preaching about positivity. I had no idea where the words come from. They just started coming out of my mouth. And I just kept going and going and going and going. And one of the ladies looked at me and said, are you done yet? And I looked straight at her, like I'm going to use Lisa as an example. I looked straight at her, and I said, no, I'm going to preach another 2 hours. Do you mind? And all the other residents said, keep going.
Wow.
We wanted to hear more. Keep going. And that just, like, warmed my heart. My second one is on Friday after I did get off work. I had a very late night, 9 p.m. I had a very special meeting with a clinical nurse. It was an amazing meeting. We talked a little bit, and she used the word God. Warmed my heart. So I started talking about God back to her.
Good.
I told her about Crystal's 9-month course and that I was taking it. And they offered me a position there. But she told me that she couldn't offer me the wage because of my knowledge and my experience. Ooh. So I am going to lay that into God's hands and decide what's going to happen from there.
All right. Bless her with direction, Lord. All right, good deal. One more thing I want to mention, and this kind of goes where I'm going this morning. There was a class that isn't timing out exactly perfect right now, and sometimes those things are there, but I think it's got something on it. And the class was going to be this DIY crafting thing, and you know, sometimes there's just a timing for this kind of stuff. But Shirley's got it in her heart to do some crafting, and she's even thinking that she would like to take items that can come into her possession and refurbish them, refresh them, renew them, restore them, whatever you want to call it, and then maybe put them up on on Facebook and stuff. And I happen to have a daughter-in-law, by the way, that we need to talk to, because and we need to talk to our Facebook person too. My daughter-in-law throws stuff up on Facebook and sells it and just a couple hours, oftentimes. She just seems to have a gift at it. And Sarah is taking the lead in our Facebook stuff, our social media stuff here in the church. Wonder what would happen if we suddenly started getting blessed with things that we could take a little time, refresh and renew them, and then turn something that was somebody else's garbage into somebody else's gift or somebody else's trash into treasure, as they say. And wouldn't that be fun? And talk about something that could bless the church. And I haven't mentioned this in a long time, too. But, you know, if you go to Menards and you don't cash those 11% things in, just drop them off at the church, because we can put them in a pile. They don't have to belong to the church to get the rebate. If you send in a, if you're Menards and you see a one of those receipts rolling down the road, grab it. Because, you know, if we add a bunch of those together, that can be something amazing. All right, great. So much fun, so little time. Let's see what I can get done here. Woohoo! Oh, Lord, please bless the speaker today to get through all these notes and through all this stuff and help him to say smart things in spite of him, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. So, last week we started a message, and it was part one of two parts, I think. We'll see how I do today. And it's called Giving God's Way. So this is the start of part two today. If you didn't get to see part one, hear part one, might be worth your going back and catching up. But I want to start with the scripture that I started with last week. So let me just read to you Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. You can turn there if you can turn quick. And some of you are really fast in your Bibles, and others are like, boop, 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 on your phone or iPad, and it makes sense. But this is the verse we started with last week, Luke 6:38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. A lot of times, giving is a tough thing to talk about because, you know, on one hand, you want to encourage people, and on the other hand, you don't want to pressure people. At least I don't. I think there are some preachers who enjoy pressuring people. That's just not my style. I want to see people benefited, blessed, ministered to. You know what I'm saying? That's my goal when I see this kind of stuff. How many of you know God wants to bless you? All right, and this is where I left off last week with a couple of questions here. When it comes to giving, Are we led by the Spirit under the new covenant or under the law, under the old covenant? And that gets some preachers afraid when I talk like that. But let me ask this question too. Do Christians have certain requirements when it comes to giving? Do we have certain requirements when it comes to giving? And last of all, the most scary question of all, bluntly, do we have to tithe? Wow. Do Christians have to tithe? So let me read another verse to you. I'm going to get to that answer. Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. That was the one I was going to have you turn to if you were going to turn to any of them, because you might want to just have this one in your repertoire. And this is good for so many things, but it's good for this question on how we give. Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And I'm going to substitute a name for Galatians when I get in here. Let me just read this way. Oh, foolish Bethelites, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, you are now being made perfect by the flesh? Wow. Under the new covenant, I'm going to tell you what I believe. You can argue with me. You can disagree with me. By the way, I hope that you have learned by now that you can be in this church and not agree with me. I mean, you can be wrong if you want to. It doesn't matter to me. I still love you. But listen to what I'm saying today, because this isn't so much me telling you one way or the other. It's me kind of putting this into a context where you can see it in a different light. How many of you know we need to be enlightened about some of the stuff we're doing? Because sometimes we get this my way or the highway, or we get this is the way it's always been done, or we get this is how I've always understood it, and somebody comes along and says something in it, and it brings a fresh outlook to us and expands our ability to see what God's doing. So, under the new covenant, we do not have, everybody say have, to tithe. Under the old covenant, we were obligated to give 10%. But under the new covenant, we have no such obligation. That's because under the new covenant, we have to give 100%. I want to remind you of that. I kind of mentioned it last. We have to give 100%. We don't give 10%. We give 100%. 100%. Everything you make belongs to Him the second you earn it. The ability I have to stand up and walk around that gives me the ability to maybe deliver pizza or whatever I end up doing with these muscles that He gave me, they all belong to Him. I am His. My life is not my own. I was bought with a price. Remember, we talked about that a little bit last week. So when I say, I believe Christians have to give 10%, then pretty soon they get a mentality going that says, so the other 90s to mine, I can do whatever I want with it. Not a good idea. Not a good idea. We are not obligated by the law because we are led by the Spirit. Now, how many besides me have a hard time being led by the Spirit sometimes? Yeah, have you ever struggled with that? Like you're trying to make a decision or maybe you're not even thinking, you're just doing, you're on autopilot and you're just going along with your life. Well, you know, I'm just doing what I do. And then I realize that was not good. That was stupid. The goal is to be more led by the Spirit. But when I tell you, you've got to, like if I put you under some kind of a legalistic type discipline that says, if you want to be a Christian in Bethel defiance, you have to do 15 minutes every day of this and 10 minutes of that and an hour of this and blah, 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 blah. And pretty soon you become very good at doing the robot thing. That's not the goal. How many of you know the Holy Spirit may lead you to do something that he won't lead me to do? And he might not let me do it because he knows how badly I would mess it up. He might not let me do it because he might know that there's something in that that probably wouldn't be safe for me. Let me just say this. Some of you remember, we had a gentleman, I can't think of his name right now. We had him in. He was a traveling guy, and he was doing this thing where he was taking teams of people to a thing out in the desert called Burning Man. If you've never heard of Burning Man, it's a bunch of new age crazy people who go out in the desert and they do crazy stuff all week. And at the end of the week, there's this big effigy that they put together out of wood and they light it on fire and take off their clothes and dance. Now, they always left before the last night and they went out there with water and they gave water and they had this tent and they had people coming into the tent. And by the way, he did tell me this. He said, you know, he says that there would be some people who shouldn't do that because there were things that you wouldn't want to see out there. Especially some men shouldn't go out there because some men are traveling or they're struggling with something. And if they're struggling with stuff and then they see people walking around not clad the way they should be, maybe they'll struggle even more. I think there are people who can handle that, and I think there are people who can't handle that. And you know, that you got to be led by the Spirit if you're going to do that one. You better be led by the Spirit, because you're going to get in the flesh in a hurry if you're not. But they would go out and literally bring people in and prophesy over them. And they had people coming into them and said, we've been down to the tarot card tent. We've been down to the psychic tent. We came over to your tent. Wow, you guys have the real thing. Those others don't. You see that? You see how they were led by the Spirit to do something. They were very careful on who they took and how they took them. And some people should not be part of that. Probably not.
Sounds like Wetzel.
Yeah, sounds like Wetzel, the bike thing. And he did say this, though. He said, you know, one of the funny things is, though, some of the people who are scantily clad or not dressed properly, he said, you know, you'd think that a lot of guys would be going, ooh. But he says, a lot of guys are going, ooh, ooh. Some people don't know they don't have it anymore. Anyway, I don't want us to be the people participating in religion when it comes to giving. I want us to be the people listening to the voice of the Spirit when it comes to giving. Is that okay? Yeah, that's what I want. Getting back to giving now. Getting away from Wetzel or Burning Man as fast as I can. See, we're born again by God's Spirit, and that means that we have a relationship with the Father, and if we have a relationship with the Father, then we want to hear what the Father has to say. Joe and I were having lunch this week, and I forget how he posed the question. He says, what's your heart? What's your heart for God? My heart for God is I want to see God smile at me. I just want to see his smile every day. That's what I want. I want to see his smile that I did it the way he wanted it done when he wanted it done. And I'm going to get good at that one of these days. I'm not good at that yet, but I'm going to get good at that one of these days. So we follow his voice, and we follow the voice of love, not the voice of the law, because God took us out of that old covenant that was under the law and put us in a new covenant that's under love. And his voice of love is trying to lead us into things that he wants, not from us, but for us. It's a big deal. And the new covenant is a funny thing because it always takes us further than we would have under the law anyway, right? Under the law, you give 10%. Under the new covenant, you give it all. Here's a verse from Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and 28. You have heard that it was said by those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Whoa. You know, it used to be, don't do it. Now it's, don't let your heart even get pulled away from it. The new covenant asks of our lives more than the old covenant would under the law. That's where we are. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe in tithing. I started practicing tithing when I was 14 years old, when I really got turned on to God. And the first job I got, I was tithing. That's the way it was. And I believe in tithes and offerings. But I believe that's a starting point more than an ending point. I believe it's a thing that I can look at and say, well, wait a minute. What if I did this? What would happen? What's he drawing me into? And I feel like the Spirit was drawing me into it in the first place, putting that on my heart. But I do believe that New Covenant people will exceed Old Covenant legalism in generosity. Now, some of you are already going, well, no. Okay, I'm gonna help you. Trust me, before I'm done, I'm going to help you. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, he's going to help you. Just tell him, he's going to help you. It's going to help.
Oh, my God.
When I first came to this church, quite honestly, there were people in this church that I believe had an impression, had an understanding that needed to be adjusted, that were giving under kind of a law thing. They had been taught that they would fall under a curse if they didn't give. And in every church I've ever pastored, there were people who had that misunderstanding, that they were going to fall under a curse if they didn't tithe. And it's not what I've ever taught. Now, everybody says, well, how did they get that idea? Or maybe you're thinking, well, yeah, it says that in the Bible. Let me take you there. Are you ready? Let's go to Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. And this is the chapter that most preaching on giving has to have right smack dab as its, in some cases, foundation, which is not the foundation I'm teaching you today. I'm teaching you this foundation of the Spirit today, which will make it harder for you in some ways. Because some people have gotten really good at tithing, and they can tithe just like that, and then they got about 90% left over, and they do good. And they can do what they want with their 90%. And this messes that up. This message, I'm sorry. If that's where you've been, I'm just ruining your day right now. Going to ruin it. Will a man rob God? Verse 8, sorry. Malachi 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. There you go. That's where people got it. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out on you such a blessing that there will not be room to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. How many of you want to be blessed? All right, me too. So I want to make sure that I don't misunderstand what's going on here. Every time we receive a paycheck, that paycheck is immediately followed by testing. Did you know that? Well, sure. Because it's going to be tested. Where is it going to go? Where is it going to go? What's going to happen with that money? And a lot of you are like, well, I can tell you what's going to happen with that money. I got this bill and this bill and this bill and this bill. They're all lined up on the table. As soon as I get that check, I pay this one, this one, this one. And then my next paycheck pays that one. And then, you know, and that's the way we live. And a lot of people live paycheck to paycheck. And I understand that. I've had those seasons. I've had those seasons too. So the first question might be, you know, who's going to get paid first? Toledo Edison? Visa? Who are you going to take care of? He said, you have robbed me in tithes and offerings. Even the Old Testament model that a lot of people want to use wasn't stopped at tithes alone. If you don't give an offering when he wants you to give an offering, you can run into trouble there too. So here's my question. Does God need y'all money? Yeah, that was a quick response. I think we've all kind of got it figured out. God will not be less comfortable in heaven if you don't give. He's not up there going, wow, I can't believe they didn't give. Now how am I going to take care of this bill? God's not got that problem. I used to have a rental property. And in fact, I've had a couple now, but let's just focus on the one. Anyway, I had this unit. There were people in there, and they paid, and they paid, and they paid, and they paid, and they paid. They were just fine until they didn't. And then for 6 months, they didn't pay. And then finally, they moved out, which was a relief. And they kept saying, Pastor Tim, we're going to get you the money. It's okay. I have long since let that go. I'm not bringing it up to be negative about anybody. I'm bringing it up to say, when they didn't pay, that hurt. I didn't have, you know, extra money floating around. That was an investment that needed a payment to make, you know, and there was a thing going on there where I could feel it when they didn't pay. God has no problem like that. He doesn't feel it if you don't pay your tithe. Like, he's not up there going, oh, man. Do you see how many? By the way, they say that the average Christian in America doesn't tithe. So by now, God would be bankrupt. I mean, just saying, you know, if he depended on us, he doesn't depend on us. So if the finances of heaven aren't affected by our shortcomings, then how have we robbed God? Okay, are you ready? The real answer, if you know that God is love, right? God is love. The real answer is God is trying to love you. He's trying to love you. And when we don't listen to what God's telling us, used to be by the law, now by the Spirit, we are keeping God from being able to show us, manifest in our lives, another level of love. Does this make sense? Yeah. God's trying to love us more. Last week I mentioned the word more. We want to let God do more in our lives. I want God to do more in my life. He's already done so much. I have no complaints. God has blessed us so much over our lifetimes. We consider ourselves so blessed. So we're robbing God of an opportunity to bless us the way that he wants us blessed. Jesus said you cannot serve God and money. You will either hold on to the one and let go of the other, or you'll despise the one and cling to the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, actually. And mammon isn't just money. It's actually just the way the world operates, the world system. You got to get your head out of this system and into the way he wants to do it. And when he does stuff, it doesn't always look like the way I would have done it. Have you noticed that with God? Like, I just wish he would just do things according to my principles. Then I would know what he was up to, and then it would be fine. But no. He has to be Jehovah sneaky and do it in a way that I wasn't expecting. God's always up to something. So if we rob God of the opportunity to bless us, are we cursed with a curse? I say no. Jesus came to redeem us from the curse. Galatians 3:13. He came to redeem us from the curse. But when we walk in the light of Christ, we become free of the curse. But if I willfully choose to step outside of God's plan and purpose and step back into stupid. Stupid's what I call sin. Because for me, sin's just stupid. When we willingly step out of God's plan for our life and we step into stupid, am I immune to the effects of stupid just because I've asked Jesus to come into my heart? I'm going down to see some of my Jesus freak friends tonight. By the way, youth, there will be a youth group tonight. And Joe's going to lead the youth group, and Tyler and Dana plan to be there for the game thing, and then there's going to be a thing that they're working on with Marlene. So got youth group tonight. Love to see you all there. It's going to be fun. But I will be in Lancaster, Ohio with Jesus freaks. Very old Jesus freaks. But nevertheless, Jesus freaks. If I go down and I'm hanging out with the Jesus freaks, we're going to be at Big Boy in Lancaster. I don't even know if they serve drinks at Big Boy. I don't think they do. But if we went to a restaurant and they were serving drinks and I was just drinking and drinking and drinking, and then I got in my van and headed home, would I be under the curse? Well, not of God. I'd be under the curse of stupid. So somebody says, are you cursed with a curse? Not God's curse. You're under the curse of this world. You step back into the curse that still is yet to be fully worked out of this world. And if you get yourself drunk and you run off the road and wreck your car, that feels like curse to me, but it isn't God doing it. It's you. Does this make sense to anybody? All right, good. God's not sitting up there in heaven, looking down, waiting for us to tithe 9% so he can beat one finger off. Bang, 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 bang. You lost a finger because you weren't a good person. You only gave 9%, now you can only count to 9 with 2 hands. It's not who he is. He loves us. He's not waiting for us to fail in our finances so he can take money from us. That's silly. See, the thing is, if you read on in this, he says, I want to open up storehouses, or I want to open up windows, excuse me, in the storehouses of heaven. I want to open up windows. And I think sometimes people think, oh, I see a window in the storehouse of heaven. That's like you look up to the sky and this hole opens up and money falls out. I'm not saying God couldn't do that, but I want to take the metaphor here, the windows of the storehouses of heaven, and I want to talk about windows, not windows like on your computer. I want to talk about windows in your house. We don't even use windows in our house like they used to use windows most of the time in Bible times. So it was created for the, it's a metaphor created for the readers and the times that this was written in. And here's what it refers to. A window was not something with glass and screens, but it was there for two important functions. It was there for light and ventilation. Have you ever been in a house where you couldn't get the windows open and it was 99 degrees outside and the house was even warmer? I went one time as my responsibility. I used to be the Ravens down in southern Indiana where I was pastoring. We had about 7 or 8 pastors, and they made me the treasurer of their organization, and then I would take things to people as, you know, from the funds that we had that we collected as the ministerial group. And one time somebody said, hey, there's a family over here on such and such a street, and they need diapers. And it was a very hot day out, but I got a couple of packages of diapers, ran across to that house. They opened up the door. The heat from that house coming out, along with a smell. And I went, literally, I went, I got cut. Sorry, ministerial session. I gotta go. Sorry. And I walked off. I could not breathe. It was so strong, it took my breath away. And God says, well, thank you. Again, I've always pastored hillbillies. And some of you all fit. The rest of you just have to put up with me. I love you anyway. Light is a metaphor for revelation. How many of you want God to reveal some things to you? How many of you want to see what God sees? You want to see it the way God sees it. Revelation, light, it's enlightenment. That's one of the things that a window can give you. A window into a revelation on how something should work. And windows allow breezes in. Ventilation. It's a metaphor for inspiration. Do you know that the word spirit is connected directly to the word wind in the gospel? Revelation and inspiration. What to do and how to do it. When we're faithful in giving to God the way he wants us to give, and I told you, I personally tithe because I think that's the beginning, that's the starting point for me. That was what I did when I was a kid. But however you give, whenever you give, as you give, it becomes revelation and inspiration. It's not just like, I'll give God a 20 and I give back a couple hundred dollars. Cha-ching! God's a slot machine. Put in a quarter, get out a million. That's not what he wants us to experience. He just doesn't want to just give it to us. He wants to bring us in on it. He wants to make it alive in our life. So I get this revelation of something, and then I'm like, and then God by his spirit shows me not only what to do, but how to do it. And then I'm part of it. I'm in the middle of it. I get to do it with God. I get to do it with God. That's what God's after. That's what we can't rob him of. We need to find a way to not let him have that stolen from him. Because that participation with God is what makes us like him. And that's what he's after. It's a fantastic thing when you think about it. And it's not just the financial window. How many of you like it when you do something and it just saved you $50? I love that. I'm like, oh, I was going to have to spend this money. And then I realized, no, I don't have to. I can just do this. And it worked. It worked. Wow. So maybe you get revelation about a relationship you're in and inspiration about what to do about it. There are all sorts of things this could be applied to. By the way, how many of you have ever been in a relationship that cost you a bunch of money? Yeah, if a man wants to save money, don't get married. Women are expensive. Worth every penny. Mine is anyway. I know she was worth every penny. But it ain't cheap. What's that? Nice save, hacker. Yeah, no, I'm telling you, it ain't cheap. It ain't cheap, but it is well worth it. It's the best investment I ever made. So yeah, windows of provision, windows of prosperity, windows of wisdom, windows of understanding, windows of direction, inspiration of how to take advantage of certain situations for the kingdom. That's why sometimes I say, come here and volunteer for something. It won't cost you anything but time, but boy, will it save us a whole bunch. When Bill Ames isn't here today, but we had a collapse in our septic system. They were talking $12,000. And we got by with a couple thousand dollars altogether for some equipment and Bill digging some things out and redoing some things that worked beautifully. Think about that. A revelation and inspiration on Bill's part saved us 10 grand. And he was happy to do it. When we're faithfully stewarding what God has given us according to the principles that he's given us, yes, there are principles. The tithe is kind of like a principle. But remember, your first obligation is to the prince. And if you're obligated to the prince, he'll help you follow his principles where that applies. There are times when that won't even matter because he's going to take you beyond the principle, beyond the law, into something greater. And so it creates a greater flow of blessing. And the more it's like what do they call that thing? Snowballing. You know? It just gets stronger and stronger as it rolls and rolls and rolls. It's fantastic. That's why we go back to the very first verse. Give and it shall be given to you. You start out giving a little and then there's more. And then you give a little more and there's more. And then you give a little bit more and there's more. And then the more you give, the more you have to give. The more enabled you are to be able to be blessed in giving. So somebody says, I can't afford to tithe. Listen, I know people who have been in that position. And I'm going to tell you the truth. It never happened to me. Why? Because when I could at the very beginning, I did. When you're 14 and you don't have much money anyway, you know, you make 25 bucks, 250 isn't any big deal. Well, actually, 250 was a lot more back then. That was an hour's labor. But anyway, you know, it wasn't a big deal. And then you start doing it, and then you get into what I consider to be that dynamic dynamo of giving that just grows. And the Lord's always taking care of us. And I believe that works. I believe that that principle will not only work for believers, I believe it'll work for unbelievers. I believe give and it will be given to you works for unbelievers. Sowing and reaping. Do you think every farmer out here around us is on fire for God? Do you think there might be a couple of them out there that don't believe in God at all? And yet they put the seed in the ground, and what happens? It comes up. So if you can't afford to tithe, start somewhere. Give and it will be given to you. We were walking down the street the other day. My granddaughter wanders over, and right there's a dime. She picks it up. Don't have any money right now? Head out. Look around. Walk the streets of Defiance and see if there's any money on the street. When you get it, give it. He will provide, the Bible says, seed for the sower and bread for the eater. You don't have anything. Well, he'll provide it if you'll give it. He's probably already provided it. You may not know you've already got it. I believe I can't afford not to tithe. That's just the way I've always felt about it. That's my starting point. That's the first measure for me, and it's never not worked. But if you can't start there, start somewhere. If you can't start there, start somewhere. If your budget's crazy right now, you're just trying to keep a roof over your head and food in your stomach, I'm okay. God's okay. He's not asking you to not pay your rent. Don't think that way. Just ask God, what can I do? And it may be your time. It may be your talent. It may be your wisdom. It may be something you understand that I don't understand or someone else doesn't understand. And you have more to give than you even realize. There are times when people are in that position that I wouldn't even ask them, wouldn't even want them to have that legalistic, I have to do this or else mentality. I don't want that. But most people can tithe, they just haven't figured out how. Can I help you with that just for a second? Start giving something initially, and it'll be worth it, but let me just suggest that there are things we can do. Sometimes we just look at the percentages we spend on stuff, and maybe in your life, again, 99.99% of everything you need to make it is already gone. Can you find 0.1% somewhere? Can you start with something? Look at the percentages of stuff, of things you spend on stuff. Stuff. Is there any stuff you don't need? For example, you might need a pretty good amount for food these days. How many of you have noticed it's food? Yeah, been pretty expensive. I get it. And it might be more than 10% of your income. Probably is, just to eat. But you know, there are some people who spend 10% of their income eating out. What if you decided that you would just not have that pizza one night? You'd eat that bologna that would go bad if you eat the pizza anyway. How many besides me, you find stuff in your refrigerator and it's got green or white or whatever on it. You forgot it was in there. And yeah, I know that happens. What if we were just being really careful and, you know, I was going to order pizza tonight, but I'm going to rummage through my freezer and find something with freezer burn on it. And I'm going to cut out whatever's good and I'm going to eat it. And I'm going to give that pizza money to the Lord. My neighbor has a need. I'm going to see what I'm saying? Sometimes when we start to look, when we ask for wisdom, will he not give it? Yes, he will. You know, if a person changed their spending in their budget by 1% on 10 different items, they'd have 10%. I am happy to say that I am not saying this today because our church is hurting for finances. In fact, there are some good things happening financially with our church right now, and I feel very, very, very blessed. I really do right now. And I think God's doing it for a reason, and maybe more on that another time, but it does make now a good time to speak on the subject. Some preachers wait until the, you know, the belly button's rubbing the backbone in the budget, and they're just like, we need money. We're not there at this moment. I don't preach on giving a lot. I checked. I preached 2 years ago on giving. And I think probably I haven't even averaged every other year since I've been here preaching on giving. I want to talk about these things not for the benefit of this house in particular, although I care about the benefit of this house, but I want to talk to this house about this for the people in this house. And that's why I've talked about it today. So let me finish up with one verse. Luke 16, actually two verses, 10 and 11, one passage. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? Just start being faithful in what you can be faithful in. You don't have a lot of money, but you have time, you have talent, you have things that you can do. You can faithfully tell your neighbor how much the Lord loves them. You can faithfully encourage people when you're walking through the store that they're doing a good job. You can faithfully encourage your family, your children. There are all sorts of things you can be faithful in. We can be faithful as better attenders, better leaders, better followers, better worshipers. We can be faithful to do whatever we can do, and then God will continue to bless us with true riches. Wow. True riches. And that is where everywhere we go and everywhere we show up, we start causing people to feel blessed. We start to make a difference. Like Becky's testimony this morning, all of a sudden she's preaching. And people aren't mad. Pretty good. They're receiving. Who knows what opportunities God will give you? So just give of what you've got, and it will be given to you. And I didn't even hardly get into the pressed down, shaken together, and running over part. It's going to come. And the more I measure out, the greater God's measure back to me will be. Lord, bless this, that it'll be down in us strongly, that we will take a hold of this by your Spirit, that we won't start doing stuff because we feel under intense pressure, like we're going to have to do something or else, but we'll feel that leading of the Spirit, a different kind of pulling, a different kind of working inside of us, that we'll have this desire to do more as you enable us to do more, that will give us a greater desire to do more as you enable us to do more, that will give us a greater desire to do even more as you enable us to do even more. We thank you for that dynamo working inside of us. It's not just about money, Lord. It's about giving our lives first to you, and then you giving life through us. And we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.